Welcome to my ministry mission, where faith's transformative power comes to life. Sit back and relax as we dive into God's Word together, finding hope, guidance, and inspiration for our lives. Be sure to check out today's show notes for extra resources, updates, and ways to connect with our growing community. Or head on over to myministrymission.com to get more information, contact me, become a guest, and so much more. God has placed a calling of ministry in my heart, and I'm answering that call, sharing my journey of faith, tackling tough questions, and encouraging you to live boldly for Christ. So I hope you're ready to ignite your spiritual flames. My name is Jason, and this is my mission. Welcome and thank you for listening. My name is Jason and I'm your host. As the disciples stood overlooking the Grand Temple in Jerusalem, they were struck by Jesus' declaration that this magnificent structure would one day be destroyed. Confused and concerned, they approached him privately, asking when these events would happen and what signs would signal his coming and the end of the age. In this episode covering the Olivet Discourse, we'll explore their questions, focusing on the passages from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. What did Jesus mean by his predictions, and how does it shape our understanding of the future? Let's journey together through these fascinating scriptures. In my previous episode, I explained that as Jesus and his disciples left the temple in Jerusalem, Jesus made a startling statement that would leave them puzzled and deeply concerned. He said, "Do you see all these things? Truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." That was Matthew 24, verse 2. Now this prophecy about the destruction of the temple, it clearly shocked the disciples. The temple was not only the center of Jewish worship, but it was a symbol of God's presence among his people. Later, as they sat together on the Mount of Olives, overlooking the city, the disciples, they couldn't hold back their questions. And in Matthew 24, verse 3, it tells us, "As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. 'Tell us,' they said, 'when will this happen? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?'" In this private moment, they sought clarity on three distinct but connected issues: when the temple would be destroyed, what signs would mark Jesus' return, and when the age would come to an end. Now, the disciples didn't know this, but it was an ideal time to be asking these questions. The religious leaders who rejected Jesus would soon be handing him over to the Romans for crucifixion. Jesus knew what was coming, and he took these moments to give his disciples the gift of hope and the confidence to carry on. Jesus knew that the disciples would soon be tested. Now, Jesus' statement probably reminded them of prophecies they had studied as devout Jews. Daniel 9:26-27 speaks of a time when the Anointed One would be cut off and the city and sanctuary would be destroyed. It reads, "The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end, and desolations have been decreed." The disciples likely had these scriptures in mind when they asked Jesus to explain more fully. They wanted to know when these cataclysmic events would occur and how they could prepare for them. Their concern is not unlike what many Christians feel today. We, too, wonder about the timing of future events, including the return of Jesus. We seek clarity in the midst of uncertainty. Like the disciples, we ask the question, when will this happen and what will be the signs of your coming? It's a question rooted in both curiosity and a desire to be prepared. The Bible encourages this kind of searching. In 1 Peter 1, verses 10 through 12, Peter reflects on how even the prophets of old sought to understand the mysteries of the future. He writes, "Concerning this salvation, the prophecies who spoke of the grace that was to come to you, searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. Even the prophets were eager to understand the times and the fulfillment of God's plan. They hoped to see the grace of the new covenant we currently get to enjoy. For the disciples, their questions were not merely academic. They weren't just curious. They were deeply personal questions. They had left everything to follow Jesus, and now he was talking about events that would shake the very foundation of their world. The temple, the most sacred place in their faith, would be destroyed. Jesus, their Messiah, was going to leave, but then he would return, and yet they didn't know when. It's easy to see why they were desperate for answers. And Jesus didn't rebuke them for their questions. Instead, he used this moment to teach them, revealing profound truths about the future. And today, we stand in the same position as the disciples, looking for signs, asking questions, and longing for clarity about what's to come. In this passage, Matthew 24, verse 3, it encapsulates a pivotal moment of inquiry, the disciples' private and urgent request for understanding. And just as Jesus began to answer them, he also speaks to us today, inviting us to trust him with the future, even when the timeline remains unclear. In the Gospel of Mark, we get a slightly different look at the disciples' questions about the end times. While Matthew's account highlights the disciples collectively approaching Jesus, Mark zooms in on a more intimate moment. In Mark 13, verses 3 and 4, it says, "As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, 'Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the signs that they are all about to be fulfilled?'" Isn't it interesting that in Mark's account, it's these four disciples, those closest to Jesus, who come to him privately seeking understanding. Peter, James, John, and Andrew had been with Jesus from the very beginning of his ministry. They had seen his miracles and heard his teachings. And this scene underscores the value of private inquiry in our own spiritual lives. Just as these four, there are times when we need to come to Jesus privately, away from the noise and distractions of the world, and ask him our most pressing questions. In a moment of personal doubt or confusion, asking God for understanding in the quiet of our hearts can deepen our faith. Mark 13, 3 and 4 is a reflection of this desire for deeper knowledge. The disciples wanted to know when these things would happen and what signs they should look for. Their curiosity was not speculation, I've mentioned that. It's born out of a desire to be prepared. They knew that if Jesus was talking about the destruction of the temple, it was something serious, and they wanted to be ready. Their questions bring to mind other moments in Scripture when God's people sought clarity about the future. One such example is found in Zechariah 14, verses 1 through 4, where the prophet speaks of the day of the Lord, a time of great upheaval and ultimate victory. It reads, "A day of the Lord is coming. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives east of Jerusalem." Now, this passage, like the one in Mark, centers around the Mount of Olives and the events that would unfold there. Just like in Daniel 9, for the disciples, hearing Jesus talk about the destruction of the temple may have reminded them of these Old Testament prophecies, prompting them to ask for further insight into when these things would occur. But just as in Zechariah's time, the exact timing of these events is a mystery. Even after Jesus' resurrection, the disciples still had questions. Acts 1, verses 6 and 7 shows us when they asked, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" To this, Jesus replied, "It is not for you to know the time or the date of the Father that the Father has set by his own authority." Now here Jesus emphasizes that some things, well, they're not for us to fully know. And we know that. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't seek understanding. Instead, he invites us to trust in God's timing while still searching the scriptures and coming to him in prayer. There is a powerful lesson here for us today. The disciples' inquiry reminds us that it's okay to ask questions. In fact, asking questions is often a sign of growing and maturing in faith. But there's also a balance. While we seek understanding, we must also be willing to just trust God with the answers he chooses to reveal and the ones he chooses to withhold. When Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked Jesus about the destruction of the temple, they were not only seeking knowledge, they were seeking assurance. They wanted to know how these events would affect them and the world around them. And just as these four disciples, we too have questions about the future and what the end of the age will look like. When will Jesus return? How should we prepare? Jesus' response to the disciples in Mark 13, as well as his later responses in Acts 1, it teaches us to focus less on the when and more on the who. It's not about pinpointing dates or signs as much as it is about trusting in him and being spiritually prepared. In your own faith journey, take time for private moments of inquiry with God. Seek understanding through prayer, scripture, and quiet reflection. As we see in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus doesn't turn away those who come to him with questions. Instead, he uses those moments to teach and guide us deeper into truth, encouraging us to rely on him even when the picture isn't fully clear, even when we don't get the answers we're hoping to get. And now we pivot to the Gospel of Luke, where we find yet another perspective on the disciples' questions concerning the end times. While Matthew and Mark emphasize the question related to the destruction of the temple and Jesus' return, Luke presents the disciples' inquiry with a particular focus on timing. Luke 21, verse 7 reads, "Teacher," they asked, "when will these things happen, and what will be the signs that they are about to take place?" The question is simple, yet urgent. I mean, they want to know when. But as we see throughout Scripture, God's timing is often different from our own. In Isaiah 2, verses 2 through 4, the prophet speaks of the last days when the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established. "In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it." Now, this passage, it offers us hope, a hopeful vision of what is to come. But again, we are reminded that these prophetic events unfold according to God's timing, not ours. The disciples' question in Luke 21:7 points to the challenge we face as believers today. We want to know when God's promises will be fulfilled. We read about them and the return of Christ, the restoration of all things and the coming judgment. And, well, we, like the disciples, ask the question, when will these things happen? But Scripture encourages us to wait with patience and discernment. While we don't know the exact timing, we are called to trust that God's plan is unfolding exactly as it should. And this is echoed in 2 Peter 3, verses 10 through 12, where Peter warns, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and the speed of its coming." Peter emphasizes that while the day of the Lord is certain, it will come unexpectedly. We can't prepare completely for this. We can prepare spiritually, but that's about it. This calls for not just patience, though, but also vigilance and readiness in our spiritual lives. Now, as you reflect on Luke 21, verse 7, I want you to think about the importance of living faithfully in the now, even as we await for the fulfillment of God's promises. Patience in awaiting prophetic events doesn't mean apathy. It means living with purpose. Seek to be like Christ in everything we do while we wait for his return. Now, to understand the disciples' questions about the destruction of the temple, Jesus' return, and the end of the age, we really should go look back at their Jewish understanding of the end times. The disciples, like all faithful Jews of their time, had been raised on the teachings of the Old Testament prophets, who spoke about the future day of the Lord. a time of judgment and the restoration of Israel. Now, when they asked Jesus about the timing of these events, their questions were deeply rooted in the prophetic traditions they knew so well. One key Old Testament prophecy that likely shaped the disciples' thinking comes from Daniel. So Daniel 12, verses 1 through 4, the prophet speaks of a time of great distress, unlike any before it, but also a time when God's people would be delivered. It reads, "At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as not has happened from the beginning of the nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered." Daniel goes on to talk about the resurrection of the dead and the sealing up of these words until the end of time. They understood from these scriptures that the end times would involve significant upheaval and judgment, but also hope for the faithful. What they didn't yet grasp was how these events would unfold in Jesus himself, both in his first coming and his promised return. Another important prophecy that comes from Malachi. In Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6, the prophet speaks of the return of Elijah before the great day and dreadful day of the Lord. It reads, "See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction." Now, this prophecy was so important to the Jewish people that they would set a place at their table for Elijah during Passover, just in case he might come on that night to announce the news of the Messiah. The disciples would have known this prophecy was connected with John the Baptist, whom Jesus identified as fulfilling this role of Elijah in Matthew 11:14. But the mention of a great and dreadful day of the Lord would have added to their urgency in asking when these things would happen. They were waiting for the fulfillment of these prophecies and wanted to understand how Jesus' predictions fit into this timeline. Now, the prophecies of Ezekiel, particularly in chapters 38 and 39, also play a significant role in shaping the Jewish expectations of the end times. These chapters describe a future battle involving the nations of Gog and Magog, where God will intervene in a dramatic way to save his people. Ezekiel 38, verses 21 and 22 reads, "I will summon a sword against Gog on all my mountains, declares the sovereign Lord. Every man's sword will be against his brother. I will execute judgment on him with plague and bloodshed. I will pour down torrents of rain, hailstorms, and burning sulfur on him and his troops, and on the many nations with him." This prophecy spoke of a dramatic battle in which God would decisively defeat the enemies of Israel, setting the stage for his reign over earth. These Old Testament prophecies created a framework for how the disciples understood the end times. They expected dramatic signs, wars, deliverance, and the coming of the Messiah to establish his kingdom. So when Jesus began talking about the destruction of the temple, they naturally connected it to these prophecies and wanted to know more about how it all fit together. In many ways, the disciples' questions mirrored the kinds of questions people ask today when studying prophetic scripture. Just as they were trying to piece together how the temple's destruction and the Messiah's return would play itself out, modern Christians often seek to understand how biblical prophecies about the end times might be fulfilled in the present or future. We look at events in the world and ask, how do these fit with what the Bible says about the last days? Today, there are a wide range of interpretations of prophetic scripture, from those who focus on the immediate future to those who see these prophecies as being fulfilled over longer periods of time. Some Christians look at events in the Middle East, wars, or natural disasters, and wonder if these signs are signs of the end. Others take a more symbolic view, seeing the prophecies as speaking to spiritual truths that transcend specific historical events. Regardless of how one interprets these prophecies, the key takeaway is that, like the disciples, we are called to watch and be ready. The fulfillment of God's promises is certain, even if the timing is unknown. As we read the words of Daniel, Malachi, and Ezekiel, we are reminded that God's plan has been unfolding throughout history, and it will continue until it reaches the full completion in Christ's final return. Now, I will take a moment to remind you that my friend Laura and I did a 14-part series on the book of Revelation. You can check that out by going to myministrymission.com/go/revelation, and I'll be sure to put a link in the show notes for you. Jesus didn't give the disciples every detail they asked for. Instead, he provided the framework of what to expect, emphasizing the need for discernment, for readiness, and to trust in God's timing. His responses weren't just for the disciples in that moment, but for all of us who continue to wait for his return. Jesus knew that believers throughout history would share the same questions, and he equipped us with the teachings that remind us to stay watchful and be prepared. Revelation 22 verses 12 and 13 gives us one final reminder of Jesus' promises. "Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, beginning and the end." This verse assures us that Jesus' return is certain and that he will come to fulfill all that has been foretold. It also reminds us that it's our responsibility in the meantime to live in readiness, trusting in him as the beginning and the end of all things. So as you go about your lives, don't be afraid to ask questions, just as the disciples did. Seek understanding in Scripture, pray for wisdom and discernment, and lean on God to guide you through any uncertain times or the uncertainties of the future. If you're enjoying this podcast, I ask you to head over to myministrymission.com/support and help me keep the lights on, or at least spread the word. While you're there, check out my social media. Also, we have a new Discord server that I just got set up, and we're looking to build our own community. So head on over there to myministrymission.com/go/discord for more information and how to join the server. Until next time, remember to love each other, remember to read your Bibles, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. God bless everyone. You've just finished listening to the My Ministry Mission podcast, where faith's transformative power comes to life. Please be sure to like and subscribe this podcast on your favorite app so you never miss an episode. Also, be sure to check out today's show notes for great links and information you may have missed. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you next time.